Welcome to Talking Fail, the podcast that will save you from our future robot overlords. This is beta episode 6, and we still don't know what we're doing. I'm Tyler. As always, my fellow hosts are Arthur.
What's up?
Will.
I like it when people say my name.
And the other one, Ethan.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Okay.
Do we have any rules against insider trending? Or do we not have any regulations on?
It depends. Do I get a profit? Do I get a cut?
It depends. Are you the one making the regulations?
If that's the best way for me to get a cut, then yeah.
I'd love to include you in an awesome project that we're doing.
Is it where I buy from you and then I get three friends and I sell to them?
Now, this is the first thing that you need to know is this is not multi-level marketing. This is not a pyramid scheme. No.
You don't have to try and convince me that this is not a scam, because everybody knows that people at the top of the pyramid always come out on top. So we're starting this from scratch. Get three friends to
listen to the podcast, and the more friends you get, the higher your chance of having your Twitter account referred to on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, because we're not...
Alex, it's working out great for him.
We're not going to get to 100 followers and talk about every one.
I know these things. I've lived on this earth for decades. I know the signs. This is my life. I know when people are pretending to like
you. How many decades is that exactly?
It's plural. Mm-hmm. Decades, Arthur.
Ethan, are you explaining how you got your 300 followers?
No, because I'm not explaining how I dropped all the way down to 300 followers.
You lost all 300,000. Now you're down. No, you're probably one of those cool people who like got a bunch of followers and then that you like got tired of them, so you made a new account, and now you're just like at the 300 mark. Yeah.
That's what I did.
I just block people that cause those issues, and my parents still won't stop talking to me about it.
I wish I just had followers on Twitter.
You have kids, which are like almost as good. Did you get them verified, though?
I don't believe in verification. I think that it causes autism. And
I believe children cause autism in newborns. If you didn't have any more kids, we wouldn't have new autism. Connection?
I believe that verification causes vaccines.
What?
You heard me.
Look it up.
I feel like...
Educate yourself.
I feel like my mind should have been blown there.
Wake up, sheeple.
I feel like vaccines cause Ethan.
That's true.
And he's back this week. Ethan, how was your week off?
My parents did not give me flu vaccines for like the first couple of years.
That explains a lot.
Ethan, the conspiracy is that giving seriously, people vaccines...
Okay, no, that wasn't funny enough for the risk I took. Edit.
You can't edit life, Ethan.
I was homeschooled. We can't add the vaccine thing to this.
Quick, say something funny so we can't edit it out. So have you heard of Vanta Black?
Is that the, like, paint or the surface that... Isn't it absorbs all light? It doesn't reflect any.
Yup.
Oh, I thought it was a drink at Starbucks.
Don't put it past them.
I mean, that's what their coffee. That's how they brew it. It absorbs all flavor and enjoyment from the cup, so there's nothing left for you to consume.
So they spray. They painted this like basketball, and it just looks like the basketball's been photoshopped out of the picture. It just looks like a black hole.
Because there's no.
Well, it has been photoshopped because the look can't be replicated in still photography.
What do you mean?
Currently, it doesn't appear accurately.
Well, it
in photos because your display can only get.
Right, it should, but it's so, like, relative to its surroundings, it's not, it doesn't have any shadow, well, it causes shadows, but it doesn't have any, like, contours or, like, glossiness on its edges. So it just looks like this black ball, like a flat hole without a curve. And that's the impressive
part. Is that what they used in Who Framed Roger Rabbit to make the holes?
That's exactly what it looks like.
Animators have done it again.
Hey, Will, do you know if Vantablack is available for, like, sale?
No, but I heard it's more expensive than gold and diamond.
I want to see it in person for the first time at, like, a Daft Punk concert.
I want to just spray my whole body in it and, like, go out into the night.
Oh my. See, but would it camouflage you better, or would it make you stand out for being darker than night? Like, I can't see, it's too dark. Oh, look, there's that.
How creepy would it be if you look in your backyard, and your dark backyard, and there's an even darker silhouette?
It's like a shadow. You're describing a shadow. Just walking
through
your yard.
It's a prank, bro. It's a prank. Your consciousness is a prank.
I think I would call the police.
Ooh. So I should spray myself black and follow someone around and pretend to be their shadow and freak them out.
Sometimes when I'm walking home, I'll admit my shadow kind of freaks me out. But
his name is Jeremy. He's the homeless guy. We've talked to him multiple times. But yeah, he is pretty shady.
You got Will.
That split second I could hear it was Will laughing and not Tyler, I sunk in my chair and went, well, that was a bust.
Shady. What's the smoking age where you live?
It's like 2 years after incest, so 21.
Is that how you base things? That's your frame of reference.
Not mine, but it's all about adapting the culture of where you live.
Well, that makes sense. We should make it known that you live in the Midwest, and those are the people we're alienating right now.
And I actually live in a predominantly, like, Democratic area of the Midwest.
Predominantly incestual.
No, I think that his point was the opposite.
Wait, Tyler. Did you just make an incest joke without hearing my incest joke?
I heard your incest joke, and I built upon it.
Well, so did the South. They actually built the South on
incest. I thought
the
South
joke was
built on slavery. Was it incestual slavery?
Whoa.
Can you guys tell my neighbors are taking a bath?
How many do they need?
Every Tuesday.
Oh, the podcast was last week, not last night. I listened to it yesterday, so I'm like, they should all bathing together again.
I'm telling you, there's like 7 of them up there.
We'll take that hatch off, go upstairs, and tell them to knock it out.
There's 2 bedrooms, like.
So as you all know, April 1st happened. Were there any interesting April Fool's jokes that weren't completely terrible?
My parents told me they were proud of me and that they support me in the period of my life.
That's hilarious.
I liked the Rick and Morty prank.
I liked the Rick and Morty one as well. Is everyone familiar?
The Rick and Morty one was good, and then the Netflix canceled.
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't watch.
It is.
It's
real.
Not real. That's. It's not.
You know,
I haven't seen
it. I was gonna start.
I haven't.
I'm not gonna spoil anything. You know me. I'm like the last person to want to spoil things and have them spoiled.
Or who knows
he's,
what
he's
to
still
spoil?
Mad about
apparently,
Han Solo.
I didn't. That was spoiled for me.
Exactly, and you know who hurts people? Hurt people. Okay, that's what I'm.
Tell that to Han Solo.
You.
Why would I reflect that? oh man. So I started watching it, and I, like, until I was halfway through, I was like, there's gonna be a thing. They're gonna, like, come out halfway through and just, like, loop into one of the old episodes. But they didn't. It's a completely new episode, and you should go watch it.
I almost didn't even click on the link, because I was like, yeah. Oh, it's a joke.
I heard about it, and I was like, no, that's a joke. There's, you know, it's not a real episode. Like, I had to go, and I read several articles about it, and I was like,
"You spent more
I spent more time researching it than I did watching the actual episode."
And this is why it's so difficult for victims of anything to get actual help, because we're so afraid of misplacing our trust in a fallacy that we'd rather put in extra time to make sure it's real than just risk it. What's wrong with you guys?
Well, they were streaming the episode, right? So they, like, streamed the entire show?
They did. And then there was something going on in Chicago.
That's called television,
there was
right?
Something going on in Chicago, and there was a tweet from Dan Harmon that said, "You people..." Or, wow. He didn't say...
"You people spray paint yourself black."
Oh, man.
Okay, but I did expect, because I heard it was confirmed before seeing any official posting of it, so I figured that it was a real episode, but it was an April Fool's, that it was the start to season 3. Like, it was just a one-off, and the actual season 3 wasn't starting for another 4 months.
Well, some people are theorizing that that's the case.
I don't think so, though.
Oh my
gosh. That was what I thought going into it, too. But after watching it three times, I think it's the legit season 3, episode 1.
Well, first ask yourselves, what is there to gain extra by not having it a canon Wahlberg of an episode? What is there to gain by
Szechuan sauce?
I get.
Oh, you can't mention that.
I get irrationally and disproportionately frustrated at these ridiculous entertainment-based conspiracy theories and debates. It's not important, and it also doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you about this theory that I heard. Since we can't talk about the latest episode, let's talk about a previous episode. In particular, I heard of a theory for the battery episode.
Yeah.
And are you guys familiar?
It's probably one of, it's, I think that's one
I'm
of my
familiar
favorites.
With the episode, yes.
It's up there for me as well. And I mentioned that to
that's one... the one where there's like an entire universe inside of Rick's battery.
Right. And everyone in that battery has to continue doing whatever they were doing, which is step on the, like, waffle stomps or whatever, and generating power.
Wait, do I live in a bed?
And so the theory that I heard, and I hadn't really given it too much thought, but it makes sense, is Rick in the show is in a battery, and he has to continue being entertaining, otherwise they shut the show down.
But
just like
just
that.
You mean just like a TV show has to be remain in entertaining, or else it gets canceled?
Yes, exactly.
So the conversation. Okay, so here's, before moving on, I think you have to kind of acknowledge first. So people are discussing, like, oh, is this legitimate or not? What are, like, this conspiracy theory? This potential, but these kinds of things are just like music or art or a riddle. Like, whatever you come up with may still fit and work within every rule that the confines of its context allow or require, but are not what the artist intended. So
are you saying it's just not worth even talking about, like, theorizing? Like, who cares?
You know that?
No,
that Rick,
not necessarily.
Where Rick is powering a battery, that's probably just one of the alternate universes within the show.
They really did give themselves an out.
Is it about Rick? Is it about the show? Or is it about? Or is it more specifically about Dan? He has to do that. He has to keep stomping on this thing to produce. He has to keep making Rick entertaining. Or that battery gets thrown out by a network.
That's the theory that I just mentioned.
A new battery.
Right?
Oh, I thought you were less meta.
No, it's like extremely meta. Like, their battery is the show.
But I'm saying, like, the battery is Dan Harmon.
Hey, guys.
Not.
Do any of you guys miss when Ethan was not on the show?
You can't.
Every day of my life.
Montage to them missing me 3 times.
I think that was just Tyler that missed you.
The last episode was like every British year quiz show without Richard Iowati.
Who's Richard Iowati?
What?
The director of Double and Submarine.
I missed the episode having Ethan around so he could make references to movies that we've never seen.
So if all universes are infinite and, like, everything is possible, do you think there's a universe where Arrested Development is still on?
Yes. Next question.
Well, now do you believe that it's alternate universes or infinite simulations of one universe?
I think it's both. I think there's infinite universes, and within each of those universes, there's infinite simulations.
Yes.
So,
next question.
Man, I really like talking about infinity. Man, I mean, infinity is crazy, because, like, stand in one spot and look out, like, at a road, and you can't possibly see the end of it. It goes on forever. And it, like, you can't wrap your head around that. Like, it doesn't end. But then turn around. It's also doing that the other way.
Ethan, are you high?
I was about to say the same thing.
And not that anybody in this conversation could verify, me sober comes across as more sober than when I'm sober. Sobriety.
Ethan, we're going to play this back for you, because the words you just used, I don't think they're the words
you thought
you used. I swear
to drunk officer, I'm not God.
Exactly.
That works out here.
That's crazy. Do you drive out there?
No. But everybody, driving out here is as difficult as drunk driving, because it's the worst infrastructure I've ever seen. And not because it's poorly maintained, but because there's no regulation in design or consistency. So any UI college f*** up can come out here and design your freeway. They didn't get a job at Snapchat.
Well, it's their pig, right?
Department of Transportation.
Tattoo artists have a pig that they use to, like, practice their artwork.
Yeah, but I don't get to see a pig with a highway tattooed on it and go, okay, I'll use a different highway pig.
Do you think a tattoo artist could tattoo someone in Vanta Black and then they would permanently absorb all light?
Oh man, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Absorbs the person. Well, the Vanta Black it actually absorbs the heartbeat and you. So
I would become less human from it. I'm okay with that.
Well, by the end of the tattoo, the paint can is full of, like, your cells. It just swaps it out. You become part Vantablack. Is this a Marvel movie?
How long until they make Vanta white? Where you reflect all light instead of absorbing.
That is a good...
It already exists, but it's only accessible through biology.
I thought you were going to say it's only accessible through my face. That would have been a really sick burn.
No, that's an Irish joke, and I wasn't being that specifically racist. And I also did not really appreciate your guys' portrayal of the Irish people.
Well, suck it.
All criminals. I mean, my great My great-grandparents...
Look, I'm Russian. We're all criminals.
over here. No, no. My great-grand... My family, in the 30s, immigrated
you know
to
what,
America
Ethan?
To start a new
if
life.
If you had an opinion,
and they were
you probably
good people.
Should have brought it last week.
They were...
Now, Ethan, your best hope now is to submit a listener question.
Was that too mean?
To be honest, I didn't hear a word of what you said, and I was going to wait till I listened to the podcast in 3 weeks to comment on it. I will say
okay.
Having the week off was really, really good. It allowed
Get
me
away
to
from us.
Listen to the podcast.
We're not going to talk about you listening to the podcast on the podcast, Ethan.
For the first time. I mean, I was actually pretty good. It's not a bad show.
So what did you...
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I actually wasn't here last week because I had my autism consultation, so whatever jokes you had were probably fine.
It's okay.
I'm actually really
talking
curious
about autism.
What you were doing.
I gave you a joke and gave you the real answer. What more?
I don't know how I got these scars.
An autistic kid with...
I want to hear the nonchalant version of that. You want to know how I got these scars?
Okay. Well, I have neighbors upstairs who take baths, and I have a... thing in my room with a hole.
Wait a minute.
That wasn't a joke.
They're absorbing each other.
I'm not sexist.
They're absorbing each other. They'll become one.
Okay, I keep thinking a joke and not saying it, and then somebody else says something, and I think they were commenting on my thoughts.
We are.
Yeah, we can hear them.
And that was really gross, Tyler. That's not appropriate. That's your brother and your sister-in-law. Grow up.
Wait. He said
what?
He could read your mind. I don't know what you heard.
Well, we got to remember Arthur. He's from incest land.
Oh.
Ireland, something that they also forgot to talk about. It's not just potatoes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mentioned the green. What
yeah,
more do you
actually,
want?
Actually, there are more Irish. There are more authentic Irishmen in. The movie The Town than there are in Ireland. I forgot the name of the town that it actually is a real fact on and could only remember the movie The Town.
Sounds like a great thing to bring up on a podcast.
Boston. Boston is where they're...
Wait,
Boston
you know who,
is Ireland.
You know who else is from... You know who's from Boston? All the Wahlbergs.
They are.
Are they
canon
eight, nine, 11?
Is it like Comic-Con, where once you leave Boston, then there's only 3 Wahlbergs, but once you get to Boston, then there's 11?
Wait.
Is the extended Wahlbergs accepted?
I like to think that they have to keep at least one Wahlberg in Boston at all times.
I like to think that they're actually all twins, and the reason everybody thinks Mark Wahlberg like acts confused is because it's never the same person. It's actually just a different Wahlberg who doesn't know what anybody's talking about because he wasn't there. It's like The Prestige, except the machine is an Irish woman and Hugh Jackman is...
I haven't seen The Prestige.
Mark Wahlberg.
Did you just spoil the Prestige? I've seen the Prestige.
Yeah, we've argued about this. We argued about this like a decade ago.
Remember David Bowie?
I'm sorry.
He was in that.
Sorry, I'm a becoming Arthur.
I haven't seen David Bowie.
His new album's best song got spoiled to me because he died before I listened to it. So I was really upset at him, you know.
What's his best song?
I forgot the name because I always listen.
Major Tom, no question.
No, from the new album, from Black Star, you dimwit.
Black Star is not his best album.
I didn't say it was his best album. I said his best song off his new album.
Okay, he doesn't have his best song on that album.
He didn't say that either.
I thought that's what he was saying.
Now I'm on. No, what Ethan said.
No, let Ethan talk. Yeah, actually, answer it himself. Let's keep talking about what.
Well, he's tried like 3 times. He was saying
this is
well, what I, is I mean, on
no
David Bowie's.
It's no longer important enough to. This is it doesn't validate the effort now. Like how long it's taken.
What
if you can pick a best David Bowie song? You haven't heard enough David Bowie songs.
I didn't say I could. I'm not to David Bowie's career, not to his artistic vision, nor to his intellectual thought, to the confines of his most recent album, his last album, because he's dead. Unless you go to the other battery.
I think the worst thing about Ethan's argument is that he's claiming that the best David Bowie song.
Lazarus is personally one of my favorites of the recent album. Lazarus.
Thank you.
Why is Lazarus a good song?
Again, why is it a good song?
Why is it better than the alternatives?
It's only better in my personal opinion, because the theme, I'm trying to mix the words theology and theme, whatever that word is.
Ideology.
The themology of the thematic elements of the song I really like, part of which is just kind of a fandom of things referencing ancient theology.
So what was
and then the additional philosophy behind it? I mean, it's a literal communication of Lazarus, but there's an also there's a separation of it where David Bowie is Lazarus, but David Bowie doesn't resurrect
yet,
like Lazarus from the Bible. It is what David Bowie was a vessel to is what comes back or lives on or whatever. It's also it's my favorite song so far. Because it's the only one that I've like studied. I've studied that one the most, so I have a better grasp of its meaning.
Okay.
Or so what people interpret as its meaning than others.
So
but the music video is also fairly interesting.
Where would you like rank it in your top five albums?
This is actually my introduction kind of to, not introduction to David Bowie, but it's the first time I've gone through works of David Bowie other than just individual singles that have kind of filtered to me through other mediums. First off, thank you for interrupting me. It gave me time to look up the album and find the name of the song. Which, sure, haha, joke, but the actual truth is I just listen with my phone in my pocket so often and through just albums in whole that I've had songs that were my favorite for a whole year. And then, like, 4 years later, went back to an old album of a new artist I'd been listening to and then discovered that they were the same person and had the same song. Like, so I can't connect the music. It's like, I don't remember people's names to their faces. But other than Black Star, there's one very, I really, really like.
How did you hear that song?
Which one?
That last one, Black Star.
It was from a movie.
Huh? Which movie?
But it was, it wasn't just the soundtrack. It was actually from the script of it. I also watch movies without looking at them, so I don't remember the audio of the movie to the name of it. So sorry.
Well, you are one big help.
No, it's actually Perks of Being a Wallflower, which, whatever your opinions on the movie, doesn't matter. If you have seen it, it's the tunnel
Hold on,
song.
Wait. I have no idea what the movie's about, or
it's based off a book. It's kind of like I guess it falls in the same category of Fault in Our Stars, but it's a little more, I guess you'd either call it grounded or gritty, or it romanticizes young pain, but
is it a coming of age movie?
It is a coming of age movie, but it revolves around an identifiable kind of outcast, somebody who I kind of liked it because I identify with him, not because of our origins are the same, but because the symptoms of origins can be similar. But it's this kid who goes to a new school because he just got out of being in the hospital. He goes in and out of the hospital a lot, and that's pretty much all you know. So he just kind of by proxy ends up grouping together with the misfits of the school. But it's a movie that portrays the abnormalities of these people as this, like, the face values of why they're abnormal or why they're misfits, but then, like, explores the actual reasons to why. So it's cause and effect. So it's like, oh, they're abnormal in these ways. Oh, because they went through this abnormal experience, this thing. And it's also a movie about kind of, it's about younger people talking to older people. It's kind of a, it's almost a defense of, yeah, it kind of sucks being this age in this day in this society, because like there isn't really such a thing as, oh, those are just like high school problems or this or that. There are actual things that can be very damaging or positive, or so much of your life can revolve justifiably so around things that happen to you even at very, very young ages. So it's a coming of age tale that's way deeper than I felt the need to defend it, because coming of age tale populates your mind with alternate,
I'll tell you what,
pieces that I don't think are comparable.
I think this book had, or book, I think this movie has my approval.
Well, it was a book.
Okay,
I would recommend it, and it actually, the cast in it is pretty great.
That's what I'm getting to, and the reason why I think that it has my stamp of approval is A, it has Emma Watson, so that's cool.
Which is actually the only reason I watched it in the first place.
But B, it has 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is cool. That's a pretty high number. But it has a higher audience score of 89%. So just all around, it seems like a solid film.
It's very... I'm definitely probably more... I read into things a little bit more. I add value where I find it, not necessarily where it was placed.
Wait, but weren't you talking about how an artist makes a thing, and then you can talk about, you can conspire?
Exactly.
I
agree with that. But then when you talk about it, it's holding people hostage to your opinion. At least that's what I've been accused of out here, because people don't talk to each other.
I feel like I'm held hostage right now.
Fight Club is great, especially if you listen to it. Like, not just watch, but if you...
It is, actually. If you've seen it enough times to, like, two or three.
I mean, if you don't watch it, you just listen to it. Because we were going on a road trip once, and so obviously we couldn't watch the movie. So we just listened to it, and the whole movie is obvious. Like, if you don't have the distraction of the visuals.
But you're saying this as somebody who didn't experience Fight Club the first time only through listening.
You're right, but the references are there in audio, and if that's all you have to work with, it's a lot easier to connect the dots rather than the visuals of, like, every...
Oh, no. Fight Club is a masterpiece of film because it uses every element at its disposal to communicate... a message or an idea. It works outside of the box of cinema and works within the box of storytelling. Fight Club's one of my favorite films in terms of, like, breakdown and analysis. And yeah, I agree. And I'm laughing because we've discussed this. You don't like audiobooks. Mm-hmm. You don't like listening to that content because you specifically can't find people who you enjoy listening to or who aren't...
Well, I mean, I can.
It's truthfully a bore. It's difficult. It's not justified, or it doesn't. Whatever word.
I can describe one. This very succinctly. I don't like audio.
I just had a vision of us, Ethan, of that conversation happening again, and your answer being Fight Club's my favorite.
Let him describe it succinctly.
And edit.
I don't like audiobooks because most of the time the narrator puts me to sleep. It's very monotonous.
I enjoy them for the most part if you have a good reader who is like entertaining, but mm-hmm. a lot of times, sometimes it's good if the writer is the reader, except for when it's Stephen King. Stephen King is a great
Why
writer,
is that?
But he's a really bad and monotonous audiobook reader. One thing that I do like, I do like to listen to the Star Wars audiobooks, because they have really good readers, and then they'll do like John Williams music and the real sound effects behind.
Qualifies an audio drama?
Yeah, it's like a radio drama. So those are really good.
But they got Stephen King to voice the Star Wars books.
Yes,
Stephen King
is the official voice for all Star Wars.
I did like when he read Dark Trooper and the clown showed up. And I didn't know that this was such a thing as people not liking audiobooks for the narrator, because my first exposure to them was G.A. Henty books, who, after talking to Arthur, I looked him up and found out, oh, I liked audiobooks so much because the only guy I'd ever listened to won like awards for decades as a revolutionary audiobook narrator. And
how revolutionary can you be in the world of audiobook reading?
I guess when he was doing it, like you weren't a professor in a classroom. Like he made audiobooks something that you didn't have to be subjected to. I don't know. He's won quite a few awards for his conveying of these stories.
Well, do they like change their voice depending on different characters? Because that's what they'll do with the Star Wars ones.
He does.
Okay, cool.
Which some people might be critical of him about, because he doesn't do it as an actor. He does it as enough to distinguish between characters, but it's not exaggerated or done to the point where it could be perceived, like take you out of it. Also, he has inflection, and just like in animation, when you don't have your face or visual elements to communicate with, you have to add emphasisms to your vocal patterns to convey things and emotions and stuff that isn't communicated through the text, or he elaborates on things through the text. So it actually helps people who aren't normally good at processing verbal or literary information, because they are subconsciously able to interpret emotional cues and things like that. So it appeals to the more logical and as well as the more socially language-based individuals.
So what I'm really curious about is, what are the perks of being a wallflower?
Ethan?
I mean, that's kind of the question of the movie. And I don't know, because if you have an attachment to the movie, you have to kind of answer that about yourself. Like, oh, what are the perks of it? Really, what that question is, or what are the perks of being you? Because in every way, you are a wallflower. You're a wallflower in relation to something else. And it's usually you're a wallflower in relation to whatever you compare yourself to.
Did you just assume my flower?
I didn't have to assume that it was deflowered. Something, something slightly. Because you have kids. And edit. I don't know. It's not a question it's asking you to answer. It's a question it's asking you to ask yourself. So the answer to your question is go watch it and come back to me.
I think some of the perks of being a wallflower are you get to be in Southern Europe. You get to be part of the cabbage family. You're fragrant and yellow.
Until
and orange
pineapple
and red.
Comes along. And then you're become
cultivated in early spring. So I think it's all around like a good deal.
I can't make the joke without spoiling it, but go watch the movie, look at the life of the main character, and then you might want to come back when you talk about the perks of being a wallflower.
Kind of sounds like you should not be a wallflower.
He shouldn't have been a wallflower. Well, it is. Growing up an individual can have its miserable moments, and the point of the story isn't, oh, if you're young or if you go through life, like, hey, you are miserable or you have been.
I'm miserable right now.
It's a validation. Well, kind of the point of the movie is to not argue with you if you feel that way. But it's about finding the why.
So there's this place in my neighborhood called Wallflower Boutique. If I go there, will I get an idea of the perks of being a wallflower? So the thing about Jango Fett...
Archer, you're representing Han Solo.
Also, being third party, Archer thought he was representing Jango Fett because you said Han Solo died. So he was so caught up in the emotion of having that spoiled, he was thinking back to the original trilogy where Han Solo almost got killed by Boba Fett because he hadn't seen him actually die. So then that's why...
I didn't know that happened either.
You've not seen
Return
of the Jedi.
I don't think he's watched any Star Wars.
I haven't seen Episode 2, man. I haven't seen Episode 2. We talked about this last episode.
Oh, I didn't
what
hear that
episodes
part.
Have you seen?
I've seen 1, 3...
Those are the best. Just stop there.
which Star Wars do you think are just let's? I think we this is. The
I've also seen 4, 5, and 6, and 7.
Oh,
what?
Wait, 7?
Which movie? Yeah. Which Star Wars do you think is the best Captain Kirk?
The one with the Cylons.
Okay, I was trying to weed out if he'd seen Star Wars. I don't know what a Cylon is.
You saw Episode 7?
I did see Episode 7.
That's the one where he dies.
I know. That's why I saw it. It was finally spoiled.
Oh. Oh, okay. Never mind.
I thought the bigger spoil was like... Actually, 7 spoiled the fact that there were 2 Death Stars for
Wait.
Me.
Wait.
Well, one of them is
I thought 7...
Planet.
No, that's the third Death Star.
I thought 7 was the one with the box.
Get out of here, Tyler.
No, that's Pandora's... Wait.
That's Star Trek. Get out.
Wait.
He's talking about the Borg.
No.
The Borg use a cube.
No.
They must assimilate.
Alaska.
Right?
What's her name?
Alaska.
Pamela. What's... Politician.
Carter.
Huckabee. Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin box. Pandora's box. Who was I talking to about Sarah Palin?
We broke
Palin
Archer,
and
ladies
box.
And gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in.
That's not me, man.
Who was I talking to about Sarah Palin? Which one of you?
Was it Archer?
Was it Sarah Palin?
Yes.
It was Greek mythology. What? Sarah Palin opened Pandora's box.
Wait.
So I wasn't talking to any of you. Okay, never mind. So yeah, perks of wallflower.
Wait, hold on. Sarah Palin opened Pandora's box. This is news to me.
Me too. I didn't know.
I wasn't. I thought I was safe because I'm like, oh, somebody here heard the conversation, so they won't think I'm crazy, and they can explain this to everybody. Nope, it wasn't one of you guys.
I don't remember the conversation.
Walking away from Sarah Palin. I am pulling an American popular vote, and I am stepping away from her.
Well, but if all the votes got counted, we would, you know, have a different outcome.
I'm not gonna lie, right. That's the most crazy Ethan has sounded.
I'm pretty sure, I want you to animate that whatever that was, with all just the random.
You can't, because people. After that, we all of a sudden get flooded
can
with
you
subscribers.
Add,
like, why are we number one in conservative political
podcasts?
Can you
add just everything melting slowly as his breakdown? So I got an LED bar to go behind my TV.
Oh, is it one of those that matches up the,
no.
like, you feed it
no.
video?
It's,
oh. Does it do that super
no.
black color?
It just...
What is your LED bar?
Just,
trying to call that.
When you turn it on, you can see all the dust behind my TV.
Whoa.
Wait, Tyler, do you live in every convention venue I've worked?
How did you know?
In every one. Just depends on the day of the week.
This episode is sponsored by DJ. I forget the name of
Cali.
The company.
So Tyler, yes. The LED bar that's behind your TV.
I'm the key to your podcast,
Ethan.
Congratulations, you just played yourself.
Another one.
Hey Tyler,
yes.
The LED bar
yeah.
you got, is it one of those IKEA ones with like different colors, or is it a solid
it's,
white?
It's a really cheap one because I wanted to go cheap. As a test,
mm-hmm.
But basically it's a little adhesive that goes on the back of your TV, and then you have options on I chose the multicolor one, and you can have it has options where you can do like blinking and like fade up and fade out, like, but it just all it does is just on and off, so I just keep it on a solid color, and
okay.
it's all right.
Is there an option that makes it not look like garbage?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The primary purpose of this interlude was just to break up the conversation.
You did well. I think this is a good opportunity to check in with our buddy Alex.
Alex Ashwatch.
Alex, he's our only follower on Twitter, and he has 381,000.
What are we
followers.
Gonna do?
I'm gonna ask him why he canceled his gig.
What are we gonna
again?
Do when we get a second follower? Are we gonna keep on Alex Ash?
It depends. Does he have
it
more?
Depends.
If he has more followers than Alex,
I don't know if it's all about followers. I think there is an element of. Personality that we have to keep in mind, and I think Alex right now is pretty entertaining. So entertaining that Will follows him.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, you're talking about cultivating personality, and the episode
no,
I'm not
here, talking about Alex.
You find a fourth in Alex, and now he's back. So we're up to five. I see what's happening here. I watch Kitchen Nightmares. I know what you're trying to do.
Damn it, he realized we're going to replace him with Alex.
I'm not the moldy pineapple in this fridge.
Hey, I got to use a pineapple at work. Like, I got to use the pineapple emoji.
Stop having sex with fruit. We've talked about this. I just got handed a paper. You are the father. I don't know what this is referring to, Jonathan. Okay, so... Bloodline.
Better not be about me.
We may want to talk about it.
What am I supposed to talk about, Alex Ash?
Yeah,
let's talk about Alex Ash.
glad you're still with us, buddy.
I'll tell you
keep
one thing.
The
Alex
good
Ash does rely on one person, and that's Alex Ash.
Wait. He's a musician talking about how great another musician's song? Dude, he must be legit. He must know what he's talking about. I mean, if the Alex says it's a good song, then, man, I'm going to buy that record right now.
Alex talked about my song. I finally made it.
All jokes aside, Alex, do your thing. Keep pursuing your dreams. I don't know a lot about you just from what the guys have told me from last week, but... You're doing great, buddy.
And where did you get that pineapple
hat? You'll learn the guitar in no time, and that picture will mean something. We love you all back at home, and be safe out there. Cocaine is...
I think we're breaking Ethan again.
Cheap now.
So, guys, Alex Ash, he got a tweet from someone on April 2nd, and the person asked, I hope you're doing good, and then Alex just retweeted it and didn't answer
our question, but he retweets, hope you're doing good.
That doesn't sound like Alex. Why would you do that except unless just trying to like let people know that, hey, another human being cares about me. That doesn't sound like him at all.
I don't think that Alex is all that he's cracked up to be.
I'm kind of starting to believe that the hype around this guy isn't really justified. Does anybody know where I've been getting my information?
Well, see, I'm inclined to agree with you guys.
I'm starting to think you guys don't actually know what you're talking about.
I'm inclined to agree with...
Maybe just because...
I'm inclined to agree with you guys, but this guy, he has the most deep tweets. He said on March 28th, the more you grind, the more you accomplish.
Man, the more I listen to Alex, he just gets one character deeper
and
into
that's,
my heart.
That's just, I think that speaks to the testament of, you know, when you when you go out to the club, the more you grind.
I was talking about skateboarding.
I think that's the beauty of Alex. I think his statements are so abstract that they can be applied to these things.
Wait, Arthur, you're following him too.
I know.
Arthur, it's...
So, I've been playing Mass Effect, Andromeda, and I'm almost at the end, from what I can tell, and it is the buggiest game I have ever played.
So I heard a little bit about this, and tell me, are the crab walks real?
I have not experienced a crab walk, and I've seen a lot of the things that people have, a lot of other people have talked about, but that I haven't seen. But like, it'll just be really laggy, in like loading new chunks of the game. I'll have characters that are like on my ship that are. They're there on screen, but their game doesn't. The game thinks that they're in a different room. It's locked up. It's locked up on me a couple of times to where I've had to shut down the Xbox and turn it back on. And it's. I've had cutscenes where a character is either not there physically, but their dialogue is happening. Like it didn't render their character. Or the character is there, but their audio just doesn't play. And my character is responding to their questions and stuff. It's really buggy.
So I've seen clips of, like, there's like a default character that's like a girl. And the facial animations for the default girl is like super like doofy looking. Like, did you create a special character? Like, have you noticed the facial animations looking?
I've noticed a little bit on... I kind of customized my male character a little bit, but I've had some, like, weird eye... Like, the eyes will kind of go crazy really randomly. It's a weird game if you take in all the bugs.
Yeah, when I see a woman that I don't think is attractive, I call it a glitch, too.
Ethan, you're a glitch.
That's... You guys. Wait, is the crab walk the glitch? Because I thought it was about pathfinding, and sometimes you got to walk a different way to find the different... That's not just a... Like, is it a literal crab
walk? I haven't seen it, so all I have is, like, what someone...
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to spoil.
No, that's not what I meant. I just, I haven't seen it literally, like, in the game. Because A, I haven't seen any footage of the game. But B, all I've heard are what other people have told me about it.
I feel like they spent a lot of time doing the artwork for, like, the space backgrounds. And then they realized, oh, crap, we need to make the rest of the game.
Well, as somebody who has opinions but has never actually made a game, I think I can speak as an executive. We already have three games, so you did it three times already. Just change the looky parts and were good, right?
I think if they had done that, they would have come out with a better game, or at least less buggy.
I guess the question is it a good game that suffers from bugs, or are the bugs the top of Pandora's?
I feel like if you want a good Mass Effect game, play any of the other three.
It's really hard to just call something.
It's
bad.
Not bad. It's mediocre. No. Like it's. I think that what they'll end up. They're going to end up fixing the bugs in updates. But if I'm looking at it from just like the storyline and, one of the big draws with Mass Effect is you have a lot of branches that you make choices and it, kind of locks off branches and your decisions are supposed to be important. I don't feel like I've really made any important decisions in Mass Effect Andromeda.
Well, yeah, they don't have to invest that time in it yet because they get to do that.
Well, so this is actually touching on a point that I mentioned back when we did the trends bit. And you mentioned Mass Effect Andromeda and like how these like decisions you make affect the game, and even transfer through the games. So it's interesting to hear that in the previous games they were really big decisions, but it seems like with this new one they just sort of, I don't know, phoned it in.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Like the decisions that I've made that I think are important in terms of the game have been like, I was able to pull the trigger and shoot somebody who was holding somebody hostage, but it was like a side mission, and the consequences I'm pretty sure would have been my teammate would have been a little bit upset that I allowed her sister to die, or that her sister died in this hostage confrontation. And it's like, I could not play that side mission, and I really wouldn't have missed anything.
So, wasn't the first Mass Effect... I only played through it, like, once. So there were quite a few decisions that had noticeable effects through your gameplay, but they were things like... they didn't alter the story, they altered kind of the people you had, so they kind of felt aesthetic, like, oh, we recruited this guy instead of this guy. So in the later games, they branched out off of those, and they had a greater effect. But the first game, there was really only, I only remember one, like, noticeable thing, which is the one, like...
There's the one point where you have to choose between two of your teammates, and then...
Somebody dies or not.
And that's towards the end of the game. There was one mission where one of your teammates gets really mad, and unless you play very carefully, he basically goes on a rampage and tries to kill everybody else, and so you're forced to put him down. And so, like, but then he's gone from your team for the rest of the game.
But those, my point is, the whole game, there's like those two big examples. Which at the time was a big deal, because even though this wasn't a new concept, Mass Effect, I think, was the big. Mass Effect was the most successful title to do that well, and the average player could see the repercussions of their choices without having to play through it multiple times. So of course, when you add a game on top of that, and a game on top of that, and a game on top of that, just like a tree, by the time you get to the end of it, the choices in the beginning, it's the butterfly effect. The decisions are spruced out. But when the game just came out, there were only a handful of those changeable situations because it was arguably new, not because they were intentionally like, okay, it's the first one, so let's do a few. So I feel like it in this game, it's like, okay, well, yeah, it's like, it's not the fourth Mass Effect. It's like the new, it's the relaunch. So let's like So like the first one, we only had a couple of things, and then we'll just, so, like, by the third one, you'll have all these other stuff.
So you're saying we should be comparing Mass Effect 1, because that's the start of that trilogy, with Mass Effect Andromeda. Like, we should be comparing...
No. I'm saying it feels like that's what was done on a planning and design level, and the result... Like, I'm saying that's the opposite of what should have been done. But that's what the end product feels like. It's like...
I feel like when I played Mass Effect 1, I felt like my decisions had important consequences. Whether or not, you know, I lost teammates. But with the Andromeda, I don't feel like I've made any decisions. I feel like I like my character better than the character that we play through with in the first trilogy. Like, he's more sarcastic, and he's more... Like, they made a bunch of Star Wars references in one of the side missions. He cracks jokes. He's, you know, there's this big alien invasion coming, and he'll make a wisecrack about it. And then go blast.
No. Can we get some of those jokes on the podcast?
Those are
so
funny.
But when the other, but the, in the first trilogy, the main character was just kind of more brooding and, like, you know, I guess, you know, it's on my shoulders to save the world, no matter what your dialogue choices were.
Shepard,
Are you sure?
I could never get around Shepard. It always felt like I was watching, like, I got the same reaction watching Shepard as I did watching Keanu Reeves in Speed.
Hey! Don't you talk bad about Speed?
But that guy,
it's one of the greatest movies. It's no, there's no bad parts of Speed.
No, Speed's awesome.
Don't
Keanu Reeves. I'm like, this isn't.
I don't know. I don't like Sandra Bullock in it.
I don't know. I think riding with public transportation might be the worst part of Speed.
Well, Sandra Bullock in Speed, she's just not a good fit. Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock has always been a good fit. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Name me one time Sandra Bullock has been a bad fit.
What's that? Jesse Jackson. Oh, man. Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality 2.
That was a bad one. So, I guess Sandra Bullock is an actress in Ocean's 8, which is in post-production.
Yes. What?
They're making a new Ocean's... It's a female Oceans movie.
And they could only find 8 good female actresses.
And it takes place in the 1920s. So as in Ocean's 11, the plot was to get the money out of the casino.
Archer,
in this movie, they're trying to figure out how to
get a
woman.
This topic change had potential.
And
then they messed it up.
The real enemy is...
It's okay. It stars Olivia Munn and Dakota Fanning and Matt Damon.
Hey, they
probably won't get prosecuted as hard because they're only going to steal like 83% of the money.
I think it's 70%.
Wow. There's no good answer.
It's actually 7%.
There's
cents.
No good percentage.
Okay. Over the weekend, I got to play with an Oculus Touch and the Oculus headset.
Yeah? How was it?
I can guess what kind of software exists for that.
Oculus Touch sounds like a bad thing.
I'll just say you gotta use both hands.
Now, Jenny, where did he Oculus Touch you?
Just like for Ocean's 8.
All right. Jesus. If I had known that the word touch would have gotten this response, I wouldn't have used it. I would have just been like, Oculus Rift and the controllers. Yep. That's what I use.
Did you grab it? Did you look at that controller and just grab it right by the thumbstick? Because you're a programmer.
You just gotta grab them. Oh my god.
They do call it a joystick.
Don't worry.
They are joysticks. I don't.
Wait. No. It's progressive. You're sexually harassing.
So tell me about this virtual reality.
It's so.
I usually grab the disc tray.
If it doesn't do what you want, you just gotta blow in the game cartridge.
All right, so I guess we don't want to talk about this.
I do. Moving I thought on. It was interesting. But...
What about your touching project? You said touch. I need to get it out of my system. And I'm good. Go ahead.
That was quick. Okay.
Well, I've been going for 45 minutes. I didn't start when you said touch. It's just coincidence.
I didn't know that that was a trigger word.
Well, it was a trigger word, and you ruined it right at the last second. So now I'm going to be angry the rest of it. Just finish what you're going to say.
It just keeps getting worse.
I don't think I can finish.
I keep thinking
what I was going to say.
It's gotten so bad there's nothing left to finish, so it's fine. Just go. Continue. Take your story.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it over with.
If I had a nickel. A headache. So, I got to play with an Oculus Touch. Yes. So, oh, man. Oh, why did I do that?
Oh, no. They're still owned by Facebook,
they
right?
They are, yes. So, Oculus...
How's their sexual harassment suit going?
That's not Facebook. That's Uber.
It's all the same, right?
Both. I'm sorry, Facebook has a sexual...
you can try to grasp at straws here, but we both know you meant Uber.
I didn't grasp at straws, but that's not what the executives were doing. That's why there's a lawsuit. Also, if you call them straws, it's apparently not appropriate either. Oculus Touch is going how well?
It went well. I enjoyed it, but I think I do... Oh my
God. You enjoyed the...
Now, Archer... Was it only enjoyable for you? How do you think the touch handled the experience?
I used to be proud of this podcast.
Was it able to like continue performing when the next person went for their turn, or did it need a cool down? How's the hardware? How did it?
Well, as soon as I grabbed it, you know, it was just you could feel the joysticks, both of them in your hands. You could pull if you wanted.
Don't you hate it when they get sticky?
They do. After like maybe 10 minutes of like a really, really intense like experience.
Well, now he's in on it. It's not fun anymore.
No,
Will,
see,
so it's only fun for you until somebody gets in it and then you're out. What's with that?
I'm just trying to push through this.
Kind of double standard.
Well, oh my God, we're never gonna finish. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's sometimes just about the journey. Either you finish and talk about how great it was, or you just enjoy the time you have together.
Yeah. The first one. I like the first one.
I'm so disappointed. I can't animate this.
Okay. Well, then if you finish, we all have to make it. Archer, we've talked about this from the start of the podcast. We either go together or we don't. We're a team and we're a family. We either finish together or not at all.
Are we in the South or what?
Well, I'm in the South. You're in the North, and then we kind of.
I think
just
you're in the Midwest,
even. In the middle.
Just.
Well, it's a. I'm
saying
it the South,
the South at least has you know oil.
The South is where all the action is. I don't know where you guys are always heading. You might. I started in the north. In the north, and I made it to the south, and then I went back north and finished south.
I regret bringing this up. I'll talk about it next week.
Missouri. Then we moved. And now that I'm in the south, against my will, I'm trying
how old are you?
Hard to get back to. Which time?
I don't know. Why okay. I don't know. Why I still
so,
try.
Well, the first time I was in the South, I didn't know it was bad, especially at that age, so I didn't really think about it. But now that I'm older and I recognize, like, healthy things, I know that it's not great.
Hey, I've got a little bit of Hyrule to explore, so what's the next topic?
How do we get me out of here?
So would you like an actual segue?
Because I like an actual segue.
I'm reading about the touch, and there's a lot of interesting stuff. I don't know why you didn't mention any of this, Archer.
Yeah, me neither.
it, So, have you guys
did the
ever
touch cause a rift?
Shut up.
Damn it, I'm done. Mute.
You know what's the worst about eating?
I don't know.
Crumbs. What's the worst about eating in a bed?
The owner's coming home and telling you to leave.
Yes. Crumbs. They get everywhere. Yes. No matter how hard you try, there is definitely going to be crumbs in the bed.
Now pretend.
And then you can't get it out until you wash the sheets.
Does crumbs
mean Ethan? Ethan? So, my current system, because eating in bed is like the best thing ever, it's like super comfortable.
I agree.
I have two beds. I have an eating bed and a sleeping bed.
Is that, do you think, how Ricky Ricardo explained it to their son, why him and his wife will have two beds in their room?
No. Son. No, it's because they were divorced during the filming of the show.
All right. Well, that was talking fail.
Well, it was.
If you can afford a second bed just to eat in, I would highly recommend it.
But every bed is an eating bed and a sleeping bed. It's a Hermione's. It's a Herma. It's a the cat guy bed. It doesn't become something until you check.
Schrodinger's bed.
Siamese cat. What is it? That's racist. Yes, Schrodinger was in Aliens.
Hey, so how about them segues?
They didn't do well in the marketplace. I heard the inventor killed himself.
Accidentally died on one.
I've been wanting to get one.
He didn't kill himself.
Well, he killed himself. Just to be clear, it was intentional.
If I had to go out, I'd go out on a Segway.
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, I mean, honestly, wouldn't it be worse if he actually tried to kill himself?
Yes.
But everybody assumed that he just accidentally died on a Segway.
See, I would like to die on a. I'd like
just before this goes too far. It is really sad.
We're all aware.
Thank you.
I think I would like to go out on a Segway because it would make it a smooth transition for my family.
Hey.
What is something that you spent a lot of time practicing to be really good at? This question's from Alex.
My answer will be a podcast. Archer, Will?
Oh, something...
Am I supposed to answer as Ethan or something?
I don't care.
Okay, photography. That's something I'm really good at.
What defines
photography?
what field?
The one off the freeway?
Hipster?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a question. Where's Ethan? I don't know. Probably off being a hipster. Will, what's being a hipster? You have a hole in your wall that leads to your neighbor's apartment with two families in it. And I'm the hipster? You have two beds that you eat in one. Some people complain about having a separate vegan restaurant. You have a separate bed to eat whatever the hell you chow down on. And I'm off being a hipster.
I think you're both hipsters.
Guys, I'm scared.
I think Ethan's turned the tables and he's broken all of us.
Oh no, it's a Mohican coffee table. I don't have tables because I'm a hipster, Will. Oh yeah. Why do you stand at your desk? Because that's not abnormal all the time to do. Where you have to specify you don't have a chair to sit at to put your mic down on.
I have a chair. Here, you want to hear my chair? That's why I can't sit.
Wait. What's up with your chair?
That.
So that's my listener question, Will.
That's my chair. That's why I stand up.
Wait, so your chair...
Also because I get pimples on my butt.
All right.
Well, this has been...
Not...
Talking fail.
I don't believe in talking down.
Well, then you should at least be accurate because IVF exists and.
Okay.
Hey, you know who didn't talk? Who actually did talk down to children? Jared Runner. From Subway when they were.
He didn't talk down to children.
He just played Oculus Touch with them.
I.
Oh man. Okay.
Yeah, the difference between Jared and the Oculus is if you get out of the play zone, the game stops you, but Jared, nothing stopped Jared.
He just wanted the freshest ingredients.
Oh, these jokes are not new. These jokes are not new. That pedophile's old, just not like his victims. This is not new.
Well, on that note, I think that's going to be the end of this episode. I'd like to apologize for everything. And
sorry, Jared.
And if you don't come back next week, we understand. Talking Fail is produced by Archer Perkusen and Tyler Cardwell. This episode was edited by Tyler Cardwell. Music for Talking Fail was provided by Archer Perkusen. Special thank you to everyone who sent us listener questions. You can contact us on Twitter at TalkingFail or at Talking.Fail.
If the Jared reference doesn't make any sense, it's because it got cut out.
Or because he was a pedophile and he was a spokesman for Starbucks.
Starbucks news, is like, whoa, what's going on here?
We didn't touch nobody.
Whoa!